politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong. That's what this country was founded on. Well, we might as well give up and run. If we let them take our God and guns. Yeah, out here in my neck of the woods, where God is great and guns are good, you really can't know that much about them if you think we're better off without them. Oh, there was a time we ain't forgot, you could rest all night with your door. Say your prayers and you thank the Lord for that peacemaker in the dresser drawer.
Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism.
Hey, everyone, thanks for coming on. I just want to say thanks to Mike and Bing for having me on. My name is Carl Higby, author of Battle on the Home Front, and wanted to kick off this segment, and they were so gracious to have me on. I am in a state of mourning for my country. I don't know where to go from here. I always will get back on my horse and let everything sort itself out eventually, but we will save this country. But it is a day of mourning, the day that more than half the country is willing to vote on behalf of themselves rather than on behalf of our children and their children and the country's future, and it pains me, and I'm deeply saddened. I was listening to some country music this morning, and it brought a tear to my eye. I was floored that we are not the country we were raised to be. We are a fundamentally changed America, as President Obama wanted to do. Like that. Mike, Bing, thanks for having me on.
Carl, thanks for coming on, my brother. I'm at a loss for words like you. I served from 82 to 88. You served after me, but we all served for the same cause. And that cause, Carl, is freedom. It's liberty.
Right.
It's the freedom to live one own life, free of government largesse. Carl, I'm afraid that last night we hit a turning point in our country. I'm afraid that, I'm not going to start blaming Mitt Romney. I'm not going to go down that road. He wasn't my first, my second, nor my third choice. He wouldn't have been my last choice, but he was our nominee, and I voted for him. I've got reservations. I feel I'm awfully mad at our party. I feel like they've forced another moderate down our throat, and that's a whole other discussion we can have. But the fact is President Obama won fair and square, as far as I know. And what that says to me, Carl, and what scares the hell out of me, my brother, is that this means that we've hit a turning point, a tipping point in America. America is no longer a country where the majority of the people believe in what we were all raised to believe, the way the foundation that was put underneath us, that foundation that my father and your father and Bing's father and Kurt and his father and Harry, and that foundation that says you work hard, you keep your head down, you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and success can be yours. That's no longer the norm in America anymore, Carl.
Right. We have become the land of the free stuff at the expense of the brave.
Exactly. I mean, we now have a society at large that believes that it's okay to live off the government dole at the expense of those of us who produce. And I'm saddened. You fought and did remarkable things so that other people could enjoy the freedom that we're losing.
Yeah.
And I'm saddened. It's all I can do to not have a Bing, go ahead, brother. Go ahead and Harry and Kurt, you're on. You guys are all, you all got a hot mic. Go ahead, Bing. I'm going to sit back for a minute.
Well, when I read your post on Facebook today, Carl, you know, you were talking about, you know, how, you know, I guess incensed. You know, you sounded incensed to me. I'm still incensed. But you were talking about how you lost brothers, sisters, patriots, you know, people that fought with you and fought, you know, basically in front of you and behind you. And how people could actually vote for a socialist or vote for this guy another 4-year term when they know what he's about. And I just, you know, Michael called me up a little bit earlier and said, do you want to do a show tonight? And I said, yeah. And I didn't even see your post at that point. And then I went on, I seen your post. And I said, I got to get you on, you know, because you envisioned the body of freedom to me, the spirit of freedom, and the you are just the ultimate type of person that I would like to vote for if I could vote for. And I just wanted to say that post just made me think in my head. And after last night, I was sitting there and I'm going, I can't believe this. You know, I sat there and projected 300 votes for Romney, and I'm going, well, what's going on? I started reading the numbers today, and I'm starting to get an inkling of what's going on or what did go on. And it's not great, you know. The thing is, there was no mandate here. The thing is that if people would have got out to vote, the conservatives and the Republicans, if they would have got out to vote, we would have beat Obama.
Well, it goes way beyond that. I think, you know, I have a friend today, and I'd spoken to her, and she has a master's degree, and she said, you know, she is a pro-Obama person, and ironic that she's my friend. I think I have two friends that are pro-Obama. But I said to her, I was like, why did you support him? She's like, well, he's all about the health care, and he's all about the people, and he wants to make everything fair. And I said, where do you think that money comes from? She goes, it doesn't matter. I want it. I need that health care. I said, get a better job and pay for it yourself. Why should the country have to be burdened by it?
Carl, within reason, can you kind of give us an indication as to where she works? And I've got a reason for asking this question.
Government.
Okay, well, it's
funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a week or two ago, there was a report that came out that said if Obama won, and this came out from McDonald's Corporation and Red Lobster and the parent company of Red Lobster that owns that whole conglomerate of restaurants like Red Lobster. I don't know what all, you know, Bennigan's and, you know, all the,
right.
those.
Yeah, they're, yeah, I've heard their things.
They're tinkering with the notion of a less than 40-hour work week for their employees.
Right, 28
because
hour
of Obamacare.
Week.
Yeah, because
instead
you know
of having four shifts, they'd have five shifts of 28-hour work weeks.
Yeah, because we have governors who won't stand up, who ain't got the balls, and I'm sorry for my French, but ain't got the balls or gonads to stand up and sit there and say, we will not support this in our state. We will not let this into our state. We got a House of Representatives that controls the spending, right? They control the spending. They can defund this so that it doesn't happen. They can defund it, but they're too worried about their hides for the next election. We got John Bonner already talking about having taxes, working with the Democrats and the liberals. You might as well just call them liberals because there is no Democratic Party anymore. They've been hijacked. And I think in some aspects the GOP party has been hijacked too. But you've got this guy that wants to be a moderate, and I've said so many times, when you reach across the aisle with your hand, it's going to get come back bloodied, and it's going to come back with things missing, like your ring and your watch and everything else. And I just don't see that. Now, there's certain things I think there is a point where you have to compromise on. But you don't compromise on your core convictions, your core principles. You compromise on the things that are going to get you ahead, you know?
Yeah.
And I had a question, Carl. Real quick, if you want to comment, I mean, what would be the first word to describe your reaction late last night?
I don't have, there were no words. I just put my head in my hands and went over and had a few beers and just stared at the wall. I didn't even know what to do.
I'm going to be honest. I cried.
Michael, yeah.
You know what my reaction was, Michael? I sat there, and I don't know why. For some reason, it just flashed into my head that you remember that poster on the Ayn Rand, the Atlas Shrugged Part 2 movie?
Yeah.
Where not the poster, but the guy's carving that thing. It says, "My country died today, rest in peace," or "died yesterday." Born in 1776 and died yesterday. And then that just was burning into my head. And that's all I could think about, you know. And I just said, no, I can't take it no more. I just can't do it. You know?
Well, I'm going to share something with you gentlemen that I've been thinking about all day. And I'm a little afraid to share it. But I want y'all's input, especially you, my brother, Bing, and as well as you, Carl, and Harry, and Kurt. And then I want to bring in Harry and Kurt and get them in on this conversation because we've got some things we've got to talk about. We've got a lot to talk about. But let me just throw this out there, and y'all tell me if I'm losing my mind, if I'm wrong. I don't care. I want you to be brutally honest with me. Today, for the first time ever in my life, I've actually thought about, okay, this is what we've been dealt. This is the cards we've been dealt. This is where apparently a slight majority of Americans want to go. Let's go there. Let's do it. Let's just get this wild hair that's grown in our ass, get it plucked, let everybody see how bad it's going to be, and let's hit rock bottom. Let's go ahead and embrace this freaking ass socialist movement and just let the country go goddamn broke and just, I spent freaking 1982 to 1988 fighting against this shit in South America, and we're embracing it in this country. I'm so goddamn pissed off, it's not even funny.
You hit the nail on the head, man. I'm the same way. I was arguing with a couple guys on Facebook today, and I told them, I said, you guys are morons. You don't see it yet. I mean, the Dow dumped off over 300 points today, or not the Dow, the stock market dumped off.
312.
Boeing is laying off a large percentage of their employees already as of day one that he's been reelected. The proof's in the pudding. And I talked to these guys, and they were like, oh, no, it's going to be fine. He's going to pull us out. Well, I say, you guys are so stupid.
You know, I don't care what degrees you have and social economics or whatever crap that you think you might know. You'll see. And I'll tell you what, I got my chickens, I got my fish, and I got my garden, and I can survive. And when
there you go, brother.
You come knocking on my door, you know what? I'm going to shoot you with my guns, bless you with my Bible, and then use you for fertilizer in my garden.
Oh, man, I love that.
You know, speaking of ammo and guns, I was during the afternoon, I have to listen to Sean Hannity. I listen to my talk shows via my iPhone on a TuneIn app, and the local AM station that carries Rush Limbaugh and Hannity are not doing it on the TuneIn app anymore. So I have to tune in through KMRG in Tulsa on my iPhone. And they had a report from a gunsmith up there in Tulsa this afternoon that ammo requests have hit an all-time high today. It was so high that his distributor has had to start rationing the ammo to that particular store.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Obama is the best gun salesman in the world.
I mean,
it's ironic.
That.
The man who hates it more than anything else. Well, congratulations. More guns are in circulation because of you, dumbass.
Anyway, I'm sorry for that breakdown, guys. I just, I'm beside myself, man. I'm beside myself.
Well, that's cool, Michael. I mean, you know what? One other thing. My wife last night, Tina, my darling wife, Tina, and my daughter, we were talking, and, you know, we were just, she was beside herself. She was sick to her stomach, literally sick. She went to work today, and she went up to a couple of the coworkers, and they said, "Are you as sick as I am?" And she said, "Yes." But last night and today, this morning, we talked about what are our plans for our lives, you know, our individual lives. And I said, well, you know, and we keep producing and creating. But I said, you know, we have to really up our survival stockpile, okay? And I own guns, and I own chickens, and I own a farm, and so on. But, yeah, we have to start looking at some of this stuff seriously on as far as on our personal side. I think because I think the stuff is going to hit the fan. You've got Israel over there that is waiting for the election to go after Libya or Iran. I mean, and I don't think they're going to wait too much longer. And we've got a lot of other things coming down the pike, as you all know, and you know, the economy and so on. And I don't think it's going to wait for 4 more years. So
I don't think so. You know, I think we're going to start to see fairly immediate effects of this in the next 2 years, in the next year to 2 years, and not only financially. I think you're absolutely right. I have a friend who I speak with his father very often, and he's one of the most intelligent businessmen I know. He owns, at any given time, between 30 and 40 small businesses, ranging from 10 to 200 employees. And he called me this morning, first thing, and said, "Hey," you know, he called me Bud, and said, "Hey, Bud, I don't know what to do, but I know for a fact I'm laying off 50% of every single one of my companies starting now. And some of those people are my friends that I went to high school with that he employs." And he said, "I'm not going to be a 62-year-old guy trying to play catch-up and trying to, you know, keep somebody else employed for, you know, someone who doesn't want to work to get a paycheck." He says, "I'm going to cut my losses now, and I'm going to make the current people work harder to cover their end. And if they don't want it, well, somebody else will take that job." So,
well, that's exactly right.
What unemployment is next month?
We're going to have to all. You know, I was sitting at work thinking today. You know what? I mean, I work hard at work. I do my job. I don't dick around. But I'm going to have to work even harder, even for a company as large as I work for. I mean, we've already started doing layoffs there anyway. But with what's, I think, going to happen over the next 4 years, people are going to have to pay attention to their jobs and want them if they want to keep them.
Well,
I don't think things are going to be poorly. Yeah.
If you work for the government, you will always have a job, no matter what, because they can't fire you.
Absolutely.
Unless you write a book about Obama, like I did.
Well, Carl, hang tight with us. Let's bring in some other people. And I do want to, if I'm understanding something, Brother Bing said to me earlier about where your launching pad there in Connecticut. I want to talk. We want to endeavor on that to help you. But let's bring in some other folks if we can here and get them in on the conversation. Folks, 718-305-7176, call in. This is your time to vent. I just vented. Carl's vented. Bing's vented. We're fixing to pull in Harry and Daniel Cotter and Kurt and Barbara Buffing just called in. This is your time to do it because after today, the battle for America begins. So with that, Harry, come on in here. Daniel, Harry, come on in here. Kurt, you're on deck.
Hey, guys. I'm certainly no different than you guys are. I stayed up until I found out, of course, who our new president was. And I to say that I was disappointed in the America and Americans that I thought that I knew and understood is an understatement. But when it really came right down to it, it was a pretty small word to indicate what I really was, and that's sad. I mean, I was just absolutely sad that, I don't know, I guess this is a very personal presidency and a very personal last 4 years, I think, to a lot of us. And Carl, with your background and yours too, Michael Bing, I don't know what your military aspect was, but you know, all of us jumped in and said, "Hey, we're Americans. We believe in all the wonderful things that we were taught." And Obama entered in an era that I don't think any of us thought was possible in this country, where all of a sudden we not only see a socialized president, but he was bringing things into this nation that we've never seen before. And everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but a good number were sitting back saying, "Oh yeah, that's okay. Oh yeah, that's okay. We'll do that." And it's just hard to believe that in this country that it could happen. But you know, so much of what happens in a liberal agenda is they're very smart and they think very long term. You know, think back to when you guys were in school. Of course, you know, with Bing, that was, you know, still chisel and rock and that type thing. But even back then, you know, we were taught about this country. We heard about World War II. We heard about the glory. We heard about the greatness of this country, that, you know, these other countries wouldn't be around today speaking the languages that they speak if it weren't for the United States and the people of the United States. And even though I didn't like history and geography and all that stuff, one thing I did get out of it is America is great. America is an incredible, incredible country that saved the world. And I inherently knew it because I was taught it. Well, you see, the liberalosity after all of these years in our education system, we don't teach that anymore. I mean, you can talk to your college kids and you find out that they're taught by communists and socialists today. Most of these professors are. I guess it isn't fair to say most of them are, but a good number of them are. And our schools don't teach anything about exceptionalism. I mean, you go into the history books, and what do they have on Vietnam? Half page? And yeah, a lot of it is not even accurate. So it's no wonder. And one other thing real quick is that anybody running for office always has a constituency that they owe homage to because they pay the freight. You know, they're these people, they're the lawyers, and they're all the people that have paid their money to support their campaigns. Now, most people, when they get into the presidency, the office is too big, and the special interest groups can't control them anymore. That's not true of Obama. Not only can they control Obama, all these special interests, but Obama is a special interest type himself. He does not believe in America, in American exceptionalism. He believes that we'll tear America down and then rebuild it in this image that we've created for ourselves. Now, although that image has been tried in many other countries and failed in every one, they're going to tweak it a little bit, you know. They're going to make it a little better. But the truth of it is, in my opinion, we have a president in the White House who, and he said it, he wants to fundamentally change this nation. And, you know, everybody says, oh, well, how can he continue to do what he's doing when he sees such poor results? He doesn't see poor results. He sees exactly what he intended. He needs to break it down to rebuild it. He needs to get us off of fossil fuel so he can do this green initiative of his. What it costs people is irrelevant. And he keeps running around telling everybody, oh, I'm for the middle class. I'm going to tell you something. It's the middle class that's the only group of people in this country that he's hurting. The middle class and the very poor are the ones that are on Obama's target list, because they're the ones that can't do much for themselves, for openers. And all of these initiatives that he's doing, you know, great, you may want a windmill farm, but if you can't afford to heat and operate your home or your business because of what it costs, who are you helping? You're not helping the middle class anymore. So it's just the huge, huge changes have taken place. And if there is anybody around who does not think it's scary, I'm kind of ashamed of them, because it is. It's scary, yeah, and it's sad.
Well, I think you mentioned right there, you said that, you know, he's doing exactly what he wants. I want everyone, every listener out there, to go out and read an article by Kitty Witherman. It's called Is America Truly the Home of the Free, or something like that. But Google Kitty Witherman, and her article will come up. She witnessed firsthand Hitler's takeover, and it is scary, the resemblance.
W-I-T-H-E-R-M-A-N? Witherman?
Yes.
Okay.
And it is exactly what you're talking about, his plan and how he did it. And, you know, obviously, I don't think Obama's going to genocide a bunch of people or, you know, mass killings for religion, but I think it's the same principle of takeover.
One other thing that I wanted to add real quick, I was watching O'Reilly tonight, and he said something that I thought was very interesting and I think could end up being very profound, and that is, if Obama this term, I mean, as he said, the American people have been incredibly good to this man, and are giving him another chance. But that said, O'Reilly's point was, if Obama doesn't get this thing turned around within the next couple of years, all of this Bush bashing and everything else is not going to help, and this man may be personally responsible for the complete dismemberment of the Democratic Party as we know it today. And I think there's a lot of truth in it.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what? And that goes back to the meltdown I just had here a minute ago, Carl. Is that what it's going to take, maybe? Because I really don't see, you know, small business is going to hold back. I mean, people aren't going to start all of a sudden hiring. I mean, we already know that companies are looking at tinkering with what they consider a work week to skate around Obamacare. Is this what it's going to take? I mean, I believe in God, and I believe that God has a reason for everything, and that's the one thing that I'm trying to keep telling myself. Is there's a reason why what happened last night. Is that Harry, what you just said, is that maybe God's plan? And I'm not, I know we can't question God, but is that possibly the reason? Because
it could be.
Michael, it's interesting that you said that, because when I got in bed last night, I kind of save the evening when I crawl in bed for my prayer time. And I let the Lord know. I said, you know, Lord, I'm just not happy with you at all. I've been praying. I've been on my knees. I've been doing everything that I know I can do to make this process work, so that we can get somebody in the White House that will put God and our values back in this country. And I believe that this man and the vice president and the people he will bring in with him will do that. I believe Romney to be an incredibly, incredibly good man. And so, you know, I'm saying, Lord, what's the deal here? And I'll tell you, what came through to me were two things. One was the Lord said very clearly that, you know, his people are not to be afraid. And he also said that we're to give the alms that goes to Caesar to Caesar, and those that go to the Lord, meaning that you live in your current place and you do what goes there. And, you know, those are pretty fundamental. Those are pretty basic. But now with what I've heard O'Reilly say tonight, that really kind of made the back of my hair stand up, because I'm thinking maybe that's exactly it. That the Lord wants not just me and we on the phone here today to recognize what's going on. He wants the people who voted for Obama to understand what's going on and get those people out of office, because they're corrupting our country and they're corrupting our Lord, frankly.
Well, what blows my mind is that the American people overwhelmingly rejected logic this time. You have, on one hand, you have a country in economic shambles, yet they rejected the candidate who has massive economic experience and even, by the own New York Times, revolutionized private equity in America. I mean, Mitt Romney is astronomically more qualified than any candidate I've ever seen in my 29 years that is more qualified to solve this problem. Yeah.
You might want to back up about 15 seconds there. BTR is acting very strange tonight.
Okay.
Back up about 15 seconds and start again.
Yeah, you can cut off Carl, but don't cut off any of me.
Well, I wanted people to hear what Carl was saying, but we're having some really strange ongoings with Blog Talk tonight.
That's because we're making sense and the government's starting to hone in on it and trying to cut us off.
You're actually...
they heard that one.
Go ahead.
It is amazing, and the Darwin Award goes to the majority of the American people, because they rejected a man that is astronomically more qualified to fix this country than anybody in recent history.
Yeah.
And they elected somebody with zero private sector experience. And in the first 24 hours of him being reelected, we've seen the economic impact already.
Yep.
Well, what surprises me is that do these people not understand what this man is about? I mean, do they not understand that he is a socialist, that he's been raised by socialists, that he's been raised by Marxists, that he's a totalitarian, that he wants to take your money away and give it to others? I mean, they still don't get it. And look, and you guys were talking about the klaxon sounding or the clarion bell or the wide opening of the eyes of the people. I have a story here, just I guess to relate. Do you guys remember Archie Bunker and All in the Family and so on?
Oh, yeah.
And Archie came home one day and he said, you know, Meathead was there. And he said, you know, Archie sat down in his chair. He was like winded and so on. And Meathead says, what's up, Archie? He says, oh, it was a scary day at work. He said, this crane was up over my head. And all of a sudden this thing fell off, something fell off the crane and whatever it was. And it landed, he said, and it landed like, it just missed me by 3 feet. He said, I'm glad God was there to help help me, you know, to make this thing not hit me on the head, you know, to land 3 feet away. And Meathead looked at him and said, you know, Archie, did you ever realize that maybe God was aiming for you and missed? You know, and you know, it's funny, but I mean, the thing is that maybe Harry, you got something going. Maybe you got something right there. I mean, some people cannot be woken up by just by the media, by politics and so on, and by just people. There's people I talk to every day. I can't open their minds. I can't. And some people I don't even want to try. If I know they're liberal and they're just so set in their ways, I'm not going to try to understand them because they don't have the capacity to understand. They don't have the capacity to learn or to glean knowledge from somebody else. So I'm wasting my breath. You know what I'm saying?
Well, either Carl or Michael made the point earlier, and I think that it's spot on, and that is that I guess, you know, unless you're told something, maybe you don't get it. Maybe somebody needed to be told that when you vote for President of the United States, it's beyond just you. You're voting for the country. You're voting for your state, your county, your city. You're talking about all of the things that are all wrapped up in a big ball. And a single issue like abortion, to talk about women and all of these other things, you know, there are a lot of things a lot bigger than you. And I'm not sure, whoever said this, either Michael or Carl, I'm not sure people necessarily get that, okay, oh, yeah, I'm going to go and pull that lever. Now, when I pull it, why am I voting for this guy? And I think sometimes it might elude you. Or a lot of people.
And that was Carl.
Yeah, and there's also an excitement factor, don't you think? I mean, when you go to vote, I don't know about you guys, but when I went to vote this week, yesterday, I was not really excited. The excitement factor was not there for me like when I voted for, you know, some other people, you know. It just wasn't there. And I think that is what parlays into the lack of the GOP and the conservatives in garnering their base and getting them out to the polls. When you've got Obama and his people just overriding the conservatives and the Republicans because I think the excitement to them was that they felt that they were going to lose things. They felt that they were going to lose their contraceptives, and they were going to lose their whatever other freedoms that they, you know, their welfare and all this other kind of stuff. They felt that they were going to lose that. Look, when you've got something, you're walking around and somebody's stealing it from you, and you're going to lose it. You have more propensity. You are more likely to sit there and fight for it. You know, even though it might be from the government. But when somebody's picking your back pocket a little bit here at a time, like they are with conservatives and Republicans and so on, then you kind of get jaded. You get used to it, and you're not apt to vote. You're not apt to get out there and mobilize yourself.
It's true.
Do you see what I'm saying? There's two sides to this story there.
I was very surprised to hear tonight for the first time. Maybe they mentioned it earlier, but I heard it tonight for the first time, that a large, big block of seniors didn't vote. And that just flabbergasts me. I can't get over that. You know, you'll remember in my book being that I had quite a segment on voting. And Carl, you of course mentioned voting, and one thing that I really went off on in my book is don't ever tell me that you're a U.S. military man and you don't vote. I mean, that to me is as close to a worthless human being as there can possibly be. And I can understand, oh, you know, my finger hurt or I ran out of gas or something happened. But I'll tell you what, people that don't vote, I don't understand it. And with all of this health care thing going on and all of the other issues and finding out that seniors are not out there casting their ballot, they ought to be cast someplace, but it's not in the ballot booth, I guess.
Well, hey, guys, we've got quite a few callers that are on hold. Let's start weaving them in. I want to add another topical layer to this discussion. And that topical layer that I'd like to add, and Kurt, you're up, and then after Kurt, Kurt, you're up next. Daniel, you're on deck, and your wife's online with us as well, my brother. But I want to add this to the topical layer, and that is for I think just about everybody that's on here tonight. And oh, by the way, Carl had to drop. He's going to try to call back in. If not, we'll have him back on, though, because it's my understanding that Carl is making a run for the House in Connecticut, and, of course, Soldiers of Patriotism is going to get behind him. More details on that when I can talk to Carl, or Bing can talk to Carl again, one of the two of us. But here's the other layer I want to add to this onion. We had, and I don't want to get into a bashing Mitt Romney thing, but we had Mitt Romney foisted upon us. Many of us were Herman Cain supporters. From there, some of us went elsewhere. I myself went to Rick Santorum. That said, the Republican Party, as far as I'm concerned, has shit its britches. And it's they're being served notice tonight. They're being served notice because I'm not going to have yet another moderate foisted upon me. We lost with Bob Dole. We lost with John McCain. We lost with Mitt Romney. Yet we won two elections with Reagan. And regardless of what we think about how he ended up started spending money in the last 4 years of his eight, which we all agree was wrong, W ran two elections on Reagan conservatism and won both times. Yet the three candidates we ran as moderates lost. Let's add that to the topical layer, and Daniel, come on in here, brother. And I'm going to catch this other line. It might be Carl.
Yeah, we got,
all right, Michael,
we got
thank
Kurt,
you.
Kurt next, actually. Michael.
Hey, go ahead, Daniel. I can wait.
Okay. All right, thank
okay,
you, Kurt.
Thanks.
Well, you bring up a good point, and it kind of – all these points, so many good and important points that each of you bringing in. The reason I called is because I have a reaction, an instant reaction to what you said when I first started listening about 20, 25 minutes ago. And that is, if that is what the people want, the majority of the people want, what Obama's doing, then let's give it to them. Let's help them to get there. And help them to destroy themselves in a way so that maybe they'll wake up. But my reaction is that it's kind of involved, it's kind of related to how the last thing you said about that Mitt Romney was foisted upon us. A moderate Republican was foisted upon us. And it wasn't only by the Republican Party, the Democrats made sure Mitt Romney was our candidate too. And the argument is, well, we can't really stand toe to toe with them and oppose them 100%. We have to come in and in increments, and you know, we've got to work our way into power for, you know, the social issues. They want abortion on demand up until the 10th month of pregnancy, till after the baby's born, and all that. And, well, I personally am against abortion, but, you know, in exceptions in the case of rape and incest, and they want someone halfway. They want to keep trying to get there by standing halfway in between. And I listened to Rush Limbaugh for about 10 minutes today on the drive home, and I agree with what he said. We need to stand up with the truth, the bald-faced, unequivocal truth, and we need to say, this is how it is. And if it's 100%, 180 degrees different from the way the socialists and the liberals are trying to guide our country, then more power to us, then so much the better. We can't go halfway. I also was not in love with Romney when Romney first became apparent that he was going to be our nominee. I started with Kane because Kane gets out there, he tells it like it is. But I don't know why, but for some reason the Republicans did not want him. The Democrats certainly did not want him, and so we didn't get him. And really, there's nothing we could have done to keep him in the race. And then Santorum was the candidate I chose after Kane was no longer a viable candidate. And it's mostly because he's not apologetic. He doesn't work an angle sort of halfway between the way we want it and the way it is. He stands directly opposed to the way things are and says, no, that's not how it is. Marriage is between a man and a woman. It is the foundation of the family. Anything else destroys the foundation of the family. Abortion is a pregnancy is not a burden. It's not a medical condition. It's a precious gift. And we all have to do our best to welcome and protect that baby and bring him into the world. And then we have too many candidates who are saying, well, I am personally against abortion, but I would never impose my views on anybody. Or I personally feel like, you know, it's just wishy-washy. Don't tell me what you personally feel.
Well, it's doublespeak. It's like if you personally feel a certain way, then sit there and voice it. You know,
right.
Why sit there and back off? Because it's political expediency is what it is.
Right.
And
exactly.
The GOP does not understand that conservatives can win races. Obviously, they don't, because moderates can't win them. You know, they can't.
Well,
the conservative message will resonate with people when it's out there. And when the GOP sits there and gets off their ass and says, okay, let's go with a conservative this time because history has proven to us that it does work, then I think we'll start to see some changes. But until then, I don't think you're going to see changes because you're going to still
– It may not work the way it did in the 80s. We may have changed. Our country may have changed more than – It may not be possible like it was in the 80s, but at least we'll be standing somewhere, and they can see where we stand instead of trying to just shift with the wind.
Let me just interject.
People, look, the Democrats and the liberals can sit there and fool people all day long, and they do it constantly. Now, if the GOP or if the Republican Party or the conservatives want to sit there and try to lie to people and fool people and say, look, the bad Democrats are trying to take away your birth control because, you know, you're a liberal and they want you on birth control. I mean, think about that. What a statement. I mean, God, I mean, it's almost true. I mean, if I was a politician and I really didn't care about getting reelected, I would sit there and say, look, I am against abortion, okay? So I don't want you liberals to procreate because, for one thing, I don't like liberals, and I don't want you sitting there having other liberal babies that will come up there and just follow in your footsteps. I mean, but that's not a political expedient thing to say, is it? But you see what I'm saying? They don't even take a stance. They're like you said, Daniel, they're just wishy-washy. It's like we keep getting the same thing. Now, Kane, I firmly still think, Michael, and I'm just saying this to you and the rest of the people on this chat and whoever else may listen to it, I was for Kane. I was in the campaign. And so, and I think Kane could have beat Obama easily tonight or last night.
Well, I think he could have too. And I mean, I just want to say a couple of things, and then I want to pull Kurt in here, and Billy, you'll be on deck. I'd like to pull you in right behind Daniel, but Kurt's been on hold for a while here, sweetie. But to what Daniel was saying, to what you were saying, Bing. First of all, let me. I'm going to start with the last thing first. on Kane and with what happened last night. Let's just look. I was a big time. I was a huge Rick Santorum supporter. But before I was a Santorum supporter, I was a Caniac, and I'm proud of it. And I'm proud of it for a reason. Herman Cain spoke to a lot of people that had never been involved or had vaguely been involved in the grassroots before. Before this year, what the and Daniel, you're right. Insofar as you know everything that happened, I believe that part of what happened, the burden of the responsibility falls on our party, and is one reason why I'm so pissed off with Republicans. Mr. Cain was treated horribly. He was treated freaking horribly by Mitt Romney, by my governor, Rick Perry. The first and only man to step up and said, no, that's enough of this. We ain't going down this road, was Rick Santorum. And that's why I went with Rick Santorum after all of everything that happened. I don't know if what Mr. Cain did is true or not that Gloria Allred brought to the table and accused him of. It was pathetic. It was despicable. And you know what? This man invigorated, and he could have made the difference, but the Republican Party threw him under the bus, and I will never forgive them for that. As for abortion, with what you were saying, Daniel, about people that say, you know what, I personally wouldn't abort a baby, but I don't want to impose on another woman's a woman's choice. Let me just throw this out here for everybody to digest. That's about the same thing as saying, I would never rob a freaking bank, but I don't want to stop anybody else from doing it. Murder's freaking murder.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Exactly.
Kurt, come in here and save me.
Kurt, we need to get some of our West Coast or Right Coast, I guess, people online too, so that way they can, because it's getting late for them. But yeah, Kurt, get in here.
Okay, I won't take too long here. And Michael, I don't need to save you. You're doing fine, buddy. I just haven't had my meltdown yet, and I don't know when it's coming. I know when one type of meltdown will come. The first smart aleck that makes some comment to me out in public because they know I'm a Tea Party guy, there's going to be a meltdown right then and there on that. But anyway, we've been talking a lot about letting these people get what they want. They're going to get it anyway. This is my opinion. You know, we can't stop the train that's coming head on at us, and that's the train of economic collapse. It's just a matter of how long. It is going to get here, and we had best prepare for it the best that we can. But it's coming. It's that simple, folks. So that problem is going to be solved. We don't have to decide whether or not to let those people. That thought kept coming back to me today. You know, okay, folks, you asked for it. You're going to get it. Or as Dave Vance put it, the only good news he had for me this morning, he said, the only good news I see is that when the meltdown comes, the Democrats will be in control. But there is one little statistic factor I want to throw out. Maybe somebody can answer my question here. In my sleepy little country precinct out here, we voted 272 people yesterday. That's one of the lower, one of the two or three lower rural precincts. That's the ones that actually voted yesterday. There were 165 Romney votes. There were 89 Obama votes. That comes up at 264. There was 18 people that came through there to vote, but for some strange reason did not vote in the presidential race. I don't know why that is, but I'm curious. I may never know the answer to that question. But the other part of this stat that I'm chewing on is I'm out here in rural West Tennessee, a neighborhood that I grew up in, and I know a lot of the people. A lot of the people I don't know, they're moved in here from somewhere else. But I said, who are these 89 people who voted for Obama? Some of them I could identify when they came through the voting line. I'm not going to make a politically correct, incorrect statement here and tell you how I could identify them, but I could identify them. But there's only a small percentage of those 89 people. Who are those other people? They're my enemies, is how I look at it. But my problem is I don't know which ones they are. And I may be chewing on something that I need to just lay to rest here. I don't know. But that's something that's been bugging me ever since last night. But the solution to letting these people get what they wanted because of the way they voted, that solution is coming for them. That's my thought on that, and I'm sticking to it, okay?
Well, hang tight, Kurt.
Yeah, we hear you, Kurt. And I know where you're coming from, man.
Hang tight, brother, because we're going to bring you back in for some more.
As far as this question, I don't know either. I'm sitting here looking at some of the poll results, and I can't figure it out. So.
Oh, I'm dumbfounded. I don't know.
I mean, I know that we've got the Electoral College, and I know that we got the Metropolitan, like Brenda, I think, or somebody posted up a map up there. And we got all these blue and red areas and stuff, and the red just overtakes all the blue. And you're sitting there trying to figure out, well, where did these votes come from in the blue areas? But, you know, if you look at them, I mean, they're all in heavily populated areas. But that's not really the way it's supposed to work. But
well, and you know, the exit
for another day, man. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it actually is working. I know the founding fathers made the Electoral College for a reason, and the reason is sounds good to me. You know, because you can't have heavily populated metropolitan areas dictating the rest of the country to everybody else as far as the elections go, but. Having said that, there's something amiss here. There's something not working right, okay? And I don't know what that is yet. I'm not an Electoral College scholar. Maybe we can get one on the show. But until then, I mean, it's a mystery to me.
Well, and if you look at the exit poll data from yesterday, it only adds to the confusion because – I mean, if you look at the Washington Times put out something today that just blew my mind, and that was that, first of all, there was less people that voted for Mitt Romney this cycle than in 2008 with McCain, another failed moderate. And yet at the same time, their exit poll data showed that more people moved to the right this election than ever before. I don't get it. I don't get any of this. I really don't, except for the fact the only thing I do get is that there's more freaking takers in America than there are producers. But I want to add another topical layer to this, Bing, because we're going to pull a couple of people in from the West Coast here. Barbara and Ron, are they from the West Coast, Bing, Barbara and Ron? Are they from the East Coast? Well, whether they are or not, I want to add another topical layer to this. TJ from Indiana. Dang it, I wanted to get you on, TJ. Call back. Let's use two states. We're gonna take America from a macrocosm and take it down into a microcosm, and we're gonna use the analogy of two states. As opposed to Romney and Obama. Okay, so when I talk about I hate to always brag about Texas, but for this purpose, the purposes of the thesis that I'm about to present to y'all, I've got to use Texas. So Texas represents the Mitt Romney model. Okay, less government, lower taxes, a state in which everybody has the opportunity to be prosperous. If they desire to be, California will represent the Obama model. a left-leaning state with high taxes, very socialist. Okay? Now, so Romney equals Texas, California equals Obama. Texas, low taxes, less government. We have a very good economy here. I mean, I'm really blessed. In light of everything that happened last night, I'm blessed to be in Texas because we've really got it pretty good here. If you want to work, you want to make money, you can do it. You can make a decent living here in Texas right now. California is a state that is overtaxed, is going bankrupt. There's at least five cities that have already declared bankruptcy within the state of California, and it's the model that Obama wants to take us down. Now, I've still not looked to see if their ballot initiative of yesterday, where they were going to raise taxes on the citizens of California, passed or not. But here's the thing. If it didn't pass, where is the state of California going to go to bail their lazy asses out of bankruptcy? They're going to go to the federal government. Who's the federal government? It's the other 49 states that's going to bail out the socialists in California. With that, let's bring Barbara in here. Ron, you're on deck. Barbara, you there?
Did you click Barbara or me?
Well,
Barbara.
Okay, let's go ahead and go with Ron. Ron, go ahead.
Ron, till Barbara gets back.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, sir.
Well, let me tell you, the first thing about Obama getting reelected is Benghazi. What happened there? We have got to understand how bad this guy is. If we don't go out in the street and protest this foolishness, we're not worth our name. We ought to just get off the internet. Quit calling ourselves traditional Americans or Tea Party. We need to quit if we can't stop this. Okay, on top of that, Florida, Alan West is getting beat. Whoever figured that would be that? There's no one that should be able to beat Alan West. He's as clean as the driven snow. What's up with America? I'm so ashamed of him, I could spit. Listen to me, spit. Did you catch that?
I got it, Ron.
I got that, Ron.
America. They are not acting like Americans. They're acting like Greece or Italy or anywhere but America. Good grief, people. Wake up. There needs to be bloodshed over this foolishness. I'm done. You be easy.
Yeah, Alan West in Florida, that is just amazing to me. I mean, I just can't – I don't know. I don't know where Florida's head is. I think it's up their butt right now. But
well,
I can't believe Alan West losing that or that close anyway. It's still not called, and he's contesting.
Part of that is they redistricted. It's happened here. We lost a good man in our state house, Wayne Christensen, due to redistricting. And that Colonel West got screwed because of redistricting.
Yeah, but he's such a Florida name, you know. He said not just Florida; he's a national name, you know. And
oh, absolutely.
You just would not think that things would go that way, especially in Florida.
I agree wholeheartedly, except for that Florida is a microcosm of that liberal freaking state, New York.
Well, Florida, I used to live there, and Florida is a bunch of people from all over the place, from up north mainly, from out west, from the northeastern state, you know, and then you got some native Floridians, you know, and I don't know. It was always hard for me to tell how they voted. But, I mean, we, as far as our governors went, they were always pretty much Republican.
Well, you've got to get up in, I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe you've got to get up into the panhandle to get up to where Florida is like the rest of the South.
The Panhandle and the I-4 corridor is what I was really watching last night, man. I was watching it. I kept watching it. I'm going, how can these counties that I used to, you know, grow up in and run around in, how can they be voting for Obama, you know? But then again, you know, I lived in Florida for a while, I grew up there, and I understand how they are, you know. There's a lot of transients down there.
Well, it's a state that, brother, it's a state that votes for a witch like Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I mean, need we say more?
Go figure that.
Hey, let's bring in Barbara here. I think she's got her mic fixed.
I do. Sorry about that.
And Billy, you're on deck.
I kind of had a meltdown today.
Tell us about it, Barbara.
Because, of course, we're going to have the taxes. And then I go to school. I'm paying for my own damn school because between me and my husband, I can't even get a freaking loan. And I can't get any federal aid, and I'm not really looking for anything. But Jesus Christ, these classes, let's get better education, affordable education. I can't afford a fucking class. And $300 for a goddamn book? I can't afford it. I'm working. I called the radio station earlier today. They freaking told me to quit my job. Are you fucking kidding?
To quit your job to find to what? Oh, to get on the government dole?
Yes. To go to school and have my school.
Well, see that's the mentality of the people out there now, you know.
Well, I actually was concerned with the radio station, but there was a liberal on there. but then I'm thinking to myself, what in the hell am I going for an education for? Nobody's going to pay me because, like you guys were talking about before, these people are going to lay off people. The business owners, they're going to lay off people and tell you, you've got to do the work of three guys. If you can't do it, we'll get somebody else who can. And that's bullcrap. I'm not a fucking robot.
Well, businesses right now, cash is going to be king to them, okay? Cash was king to them before because they have to rely on cash and their capital to make sure that they can keep providing jobs for people. And with Obamacare coming through and so on, and somebody, you know, who knows what else is in Obamacare because we haven't read it, you know, really. So who else knows who is or what else is in this bill that is going to sit there and just take out these companies. And somebody was talking about earlier, I think, about Obamacare. And the deal is that, as far as I understand, if the company sits there and pays $2,000 fine, then they can shovel you off on Obamacare. Whereas before, they would be paying $15,000 for your health care. If your company does provide that, if they do pay some of your health care. It might be $10,000, it might be $8,000, but $2,000 for a fine to get you off in the government dole is a lot better to them than paying $10,000. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So the next thing you know, you're stuck in Obamacare. And the company sits there, and if they're a nice company, they might say, look, Barb, we'll sit there and go ahead and give you, for that difference, we'll go ahead and give you a $3,000 or $5,000 raise. And that's what a lot of companies were thinking of doing or are thinking of doing. But then again, they might just sit there and say, no, we're not even going to go there. We're just going to make you work 20 hours a week or 30 or anything less than 40 so that we don't have to provide health care for you.
Yeah.
And that's where the companies, and Michael alluded to that earlier, that's where the companies are coming up with these ingenious plans to get around this. See, companies ain't stupid. They will find plans to get around this, and that's what they should do. But what I'm saying is that the government, our own House of Representatives, should actually be taking the lead in this and saying, look, we're going to make our own budget. We're going to put everything back to 2008 levels as far as our taxes, taxation, and everything else, and we're going to defang Obamacare. And then if you guys don't want to sign it, we're going on break. We're out. let you tell your constituents why their checks are not being mailed out to them, because you won't sign our budget bill. The Senate for 4 years has not passed one budget bill yet.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even developed one to pass, and they won't, because they know that whatever they come up with is going to offend somebody, and they don't want to do that. But the House, we have the House. We can't count on the Senate no more. Just forget about the Senate. We can't count on it. But we have the House, and the House is powerful, and we have the governors. We have a lot more Republican governors now than we did before. And the governors and the House of Representatives need to sit there and come up with a conclusion and say, look, this is our budget. This is what we're submitting. If you don't like it, tough shit. Don't vote for it, and we're going on break. Let the government shut down, and let, as Carl said, or as Harry said, let it just go off to the cliff, or Daniel might have said it. Just let it go off the cliff. Because, you know, when the car goes off the cliff and it falls down and it gets all banged up and, you know, and that kind of stuff, then you go down and you salvage the parts off that car that you might want. The rest of it you just shovel off the rest of the cliff. And that's the way it should be. That's my 2 cents.
I just reading this now. Reuters, hours after U.S. President Barack Obama was reelected, the United States backed the UN committee call on Wednesdays to renew debate over a draft international treaty to regulate 70 billion global conventional arms treaty. Motherfucker. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Wonderful.
But that's all right, Barbara. I've had meltdowns too, buddy. Hey, let's bring in here real quick, and before I bring her in, mine and Bing's partner, Billy Carter, and we just got through speaking with her husband Daniel, but we're gonna bring her in. But I want to add another topical layer to this. Okay, we got a lot of topical layers going.
Sandwich over there, dude, or what?
Yeah, I'm eating onions, man. But I'm going to add this.
A topical layer sandwich or something.
It's called steak. It's called Spy Side 12-year-old Deluxe Scotch Whiskey, brewed by James Gordon. I love my scotch. But, no, I want to add this to this, and then I want to bring in Billy and our other partner, Brenda. And then we're gonna pull everybody back in, Kurt and Harry and get everybody back in here. But you know, I've been thinking a lot today, guys. I woke up this morning. You know, I didn't sleep well. I tossed and turned all night. I thought about all the crow that I'm gonna have to eat for the next couple of weeks. But I woke up this morning. And guess what? The sun was still shining. My wife was still in bed beside me. And my kids were still in their bedrooms. I still had my house. I walked out in the front yard. My driveway was still there. Both of my cars were still in it. I was still in Texas, and I was still in America. Now, granted, there's an asterisk beside America, but I am still determined. I am. I'm still determined. I'm still a Reagan conservative. And whereas early this morning and last night I was about ready to throw up my hands and give up, I'm not going to give up. But here's the question. Here's the question I think we need to talk about, and that is cleansing our party. I think our party has to be cleansed, or we've got to come up with a third party. There's the topical layer. Billy, you're up.
Hi, guys. First of all, as for me, I didn't want to throw up my hands, but I did want to throw up, quite honestly, after everything that happened yesterday. Yeah, I know what you're trying to say. And cleanse our party. I think it's not so easy because we have some very good moderates. I'm sorry. We really do. We do not need the Troy Aiken or the Todd Aiken. Troy Aiken wasn't all that great either. But anyway, Todd Aiken and the Murdochs. And no offense, I thought Murdoch said nothing wrong. However, quite a few women obviously did. If that was why he didn't win Indiana. And it's just really, really scary. I mean, if you look at everything that happened yesterday, absolutely everything the Democrats wanted happened. They kept all, you know, they got Elizabeth Warren. They got Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin. They got everything that they basically wanted to get all their points across. And, you know, all I kept hearing was, don't bring up social issues. Don't bring up social issues the whole time. They won on the social issues. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
They won.
They won on women's reproductive rights and everything else. I mean, that's where they were.
The way I see it, though, is what we have are two different kinds of people in this world, in this nation. And this includes all Republicans, all conservatives, versus all liberals, all socialist-type people. We've got the ones who are more like adults and tell the children, don't touch the fire, you're going to get burned. And then we've got the ones, the children on the left, saying, let us find out for ourselves, stupid. And they're rebellious little kids. And that's what we had happen to us yesterday. We had a rebellion. We had all those little whiny, rebellious kids saying, you know what? He's only had 4 years. We need to give him 8. Reagan took 8. You know what I said? You know, I say, I can't understand how people would say it took Reagan 8 years. It took him 2. It took him 2 years to actually have a really positive turnaround going forward like a steam engine. But it took him 8 to complete it, only to have it all destroyed by Clinton in the long run. But he had it great. They don't know that. That's what we've got right now. We've got a generation who never, ever experienced the Reagan we did. And they're only experiencing him in history books, and not in a good way like we know him. And I don't know what to say about that. I don't know what to feel about that other than, if it were up to me, if I were president, we wouldn't have a Department of Education at a national level. We wouldn't have a Department of Energy at a national level. We would not have an NLRB at all. I mean, but I'm not president. And we have to deal with who is.
No, but you're still the host of Obama Nation, and I guess at least for the next 4 years, my dear friend, you've still got a great show.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's a good thing you didn't cancel that show, Billy.
I mean,
at least change your name. It's like keep the name, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's just really it's really frustrating to me, mainly for me, because I see our military unable to have any faith in this country, in this leadership, knowing what happened in Benghazi, that they were told to stand down instead of fight, that they were, you know, basically left to be killed by our leadership. And now we've got people in Afghanistan. They get shot in the back for no reason at all over there.
Well, and also knowing that at the Fort Hood shootings that they called this guy domestic, you know, he wasn't called a terrorist. It was a domestic workplace incident. I mean, this is a terrorist.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, so you got all these other unanswered questions going around, too, as well. So.
Well, you know, thank goodness this is the world of the Internet, and we can say how we really feel. And we've got a saying down here in Texas. When things get bad, and it's called things are getting ready to break shitty. And I really believe that things are fixing to break shitty. And I'm go ahead, Billy.
I was just saying that when they get there, we don't need to be there with the I told you so's or anything. We just need to be there to basically take over for them, because they're all going to be running around with the, like chickens with their heads cut off. Because it's going to fail.
You're absolutely right. And we've got a lot of work ahead of us. And I'm fixing to bring in someone here in just a second. I'll say who in just a minute. But you're absolutely right, Billy. And you and me and Bing and Brenda and Rick and Underground Hard Drive and Invisible Conservative and Scott Osborne's banner, Red State, Empower Texans, all of the various conservative blogs we've that are not owned, that are just private little entities that do what we do. We've got a task ahead of us, and it's time to organize. We've got a fight ahead of us. And with that, I would like to bring in now, if we can. I want to bring in the first person that helped me build Conservative Nation Radio. You know, it was me, and then I brought in Brenda Ward, came on board with me, and then you, Billy. And then Rick or Becca started doing my show with me, and then eventually my brother Bing and Rick Bulo. Let's bring in here our sister Brenda Ward, who does Women Patriots on Conservative Nation Radio, and let's get some of her input. And then I want to bring Harry back in here, and I want to get Kurt back in here, and I want to get Barbara and Ron back in here. And TJ, if you're listening, please call back in. TJ from Indiana, I really, really want to get you on the air. Folks, it's 718-305-7176. Bing and I would love to have you call in. Please call in. This show is for you guys today, okay? It really is. You know, we need to vent. We need to get this poison out of our system. And tomorrow morning, we need to get up and we need to do battle. Brenda, go ahead, baby.
Hey, guys. Well, I was actually kind of sick last night and this morning, and I really didn't want to talk to anybody. And hang on, because my phone's going to switch phones real quick. But as the day went on and I started being able to vent, I felt a little bit better. I'm still not feeling 100%. I just can't, you know, I'm kind of in shock because basically the base didn't turn out. And Billy, we talked about this back, you know, in the primaries, that the base wasn't going to vote for Mitt Romney. Independents did. The base didn't turn out. It was a low turnout. And that is very disappointing because they refuse to see the danger that we have in this president. And that's very disheartening. And they try to justify themselves using God. When you know, you can't just pray to God and then go wait until you find what you want to do. You know, God gives you answers. When the Democratic platform denies God three times, that's your answer right there, and you refuse to listen to it. So we are going to pay for it. It's already started. So that's just one of my observations. But you guys, nobody walk with your head proud. You know, I still stand by my decision to support the Republican candidate, and especially the good man that we learned that Mitt Romney was, because it's going to get bad. And my first instinct was to go and hide. It's like, okay, let's go build our own little community, like, you know, John Galt, and just let it happen. And then today, it's like, nope. I can't do that, and we're going to just have to figure out, you know, where we go from here. So first, one of the first things we got to try to do is we've got to get the mainstream media so that it's not a relevant source for the Americans like it is now. I mean, there's a lot of people, all they know is what they see on the network, and so we have a role in that, to continue with our blog talk and our tweeting and whatever other ways we can think of, you know, whether it's just writing letters to the editor to actually, you know, get the media, call them out on their lies. And we got to pick ourselves up and go on, because Indiana actually went red, so, you know, we're a red state. But Billy asked Murdoch. Murdoch lost because of the third-party candidate, the Libertarians. So, and Rupert from Survivor was running here in Indiana. So we had a problem with that. You guys there?
Yep, we're here.
Okay.
Let me ask you on the Murdoch loss, okay?
Yes.
And I know I'm going to probably open up a can of worms. Look, guys, I just want to stipulate I believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, and I'm against abortion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm against abortion to the point that I'm even against abortion in the case of rape and incest as well. However, that being said, I think we're thinkers. Everyone that's on this phone tonight and everyone that's in the chat room, we're politically astute and we're thinkers. We think through logic. We think through the consequences of what we think in our actions. The vast majority of America does not. I'm afraid to say that. I'm not afraid to say it. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. Now, here's the problem that we're posed with. Was Richard Murdoch a casualty of Mr. Akins in Missouri? Because I agree with everything that Richard Murdoch said, insofar as rape and abortion and all of that. I had no problems with what he said. And I don't really have a problem with what Mr. Akins said, except for that he started trying to get into the medical psychobabble bullshit of it. And to you and I, to all of us, it made sense. But to the vast majority of Americans, it didn't. And that's the truth, guys.
Right. It's not about whether it made sense, though. It's not even about whether it makes sense. It's about keeping your damn mouth shut.
Yeah, absolutely, Billy. Absolutely.
You know what? Here on our side, on the right, as a conservative, you say the name of God, you are automatically going to get tons and tons and tons of backlash from the mainstream media. And that's what Akin did. Or not Akin, Murdoch. When Murdoch said that, you know, God created life, oh my gosh, that just automatically became some sort of a storm that I couldn't understand how it was brewing. I mean, if you watched any of the newscasts over it, this guy was a laughingstock on those shows. Because,
yeah, but not in Indiana. Because Indiana is a pretty conservative state. I mean, I live
right,
in Fort Wayne.
I'm not talking locally. I'm talking the MSNBCs, the CNNs, the ABC, CBS, the mainstream. They laughed at that idea that God created life. And I couldn't get it. It doesn't make sense to me how on earth these people are laughing at such obvious common sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And here's my point. And Brenda, you're right. Murdoch is local to Indiana just as Akin is local to Missouri. However, the problem is that when you've got someone like a Mitt Romney running, those individuals become national. Now, here in Texas, the Tea Party we were very successful. I can't be prouder of the Tea Party. We got in people all across the board, and that question never came up on abortion. And I'm not saying we've got to deny what we believe and that we can't go back on our principles. We can't. We've got to maintain our principles. Where I'm going with this is the packaging. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, Did Mr. Akin and Mr. Murdoch, unfortunately, did they need to just answer the question by saying, look, I'm opposed to abortion, end of story, that's all I'm going to say? Or by going into detail, did they hurt themselves? I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer to that, but we've got, as a party, we've got to repackage our messaging. Because, look, guys, I hate to say this, but it's down to brass nuts now. We've got to determine, are the social issues more important, or is the economy and the free market system that we've enjoyed for 236 years more important? And let's tackle that first, and then tackle the social issues. It's not, look, I'm a social conservative, but we're dying. We're killing ourselves.
Right.
By trying to explain our positions to a vast majority of a country that is apparently secular and doesn't agree with us.
They're indoctrinated and totally oblivious to the facts and the truth. They don't want the facts. They don't want the truth. They want their MSNBC. They want to be told what to do by Chris Matthews. They want a Rachel Maddow to say, this is how you should vote. That's what they want over on the left. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to hear it, and they definitely don't want it in the schools. Because if you dare bring it up in schools, there's a lawsuit. You know?
But here's the problem. As a party, they are never going to change that. There's nobody that's going to change somebody that is that indoctrinated, Billy. There's nobody. You can't
exactly
change that. The only way you can change
that is I think we just lost the last possible chance that it could have been changed.
Well, and I'm not saying that we need to change them, Uncle Bing. What I'm saying is we need...
I don't think we can change our message, Michael, to be able to get them to realize that they're not on the right track. Look how the exit polls went. What was there? 56% of the American exit poll, or the American people out of these polling places, said that we are on the wrong track. And yet we voted for Obama.
You're absolutely right.
How can that be? You know, that's what I'm saying. We cannot change that mentality.
You're right, but here's the thing, okay? Give me just a second, guys. Here's the thing with messaging. The left has successfully painted the word capitalism as meaning
evil.
If you're rich, you're for capitalism. If you're not, then you're not for capitalism. But the fact of the matter is that capitalism applies not only to the people that create jobs, it applies to the people that works those damn jobs. I'm not rich. My wife and I, well, I'm just going to say it. My wife and I do about $100,000 a year, okay? That's what my wife and I do. We're not rich. We're on the lower end of middle class, and I even hate to use the freaking term class, because class comes from Marxism, and we're not a classist society. But that's what we do. Capitalism is the hope that I can be something greater. When you take away that hope, when you define and you vilify a word like capitalism, and I'm just using that for right now, it could be applied to abortion, it could be applied to anything. When you vilify the message to such a degree that unless we come up with a different way to explain it, we're already in a losing situation, then we've got to rethink our messaging. That's all I'm saying.
Didn't do, guys, is we didn't turn out the base. And what is the base? The base is your right-wing religious people. They didn't see a difference between Romney and Obama because they don't look at the deep things.
You've got to talk about the social issues.
You need to be not afraid to say that you believe in God,
right,
like Rick Santorum. You need to speak out and make the contrast. That's what will drive the evangelicals to the polls. And that's what we need to win. We're not going to win it with just the independents. It's not going to happen. It's not going to, and it's not going to be the moderate. It has to be that right-wing element of the party. And the only way you get them there is you get a man that they feel like they can really support and that they'll go out and vote for.
Well, let me add one more layer to this, and let's bring in some other people again. That is, what do we do moving into 2016? We already could guess who's probably going to be the candidate on the other side, and her name is Hillary Clinton. Okay? So knowing that right now, what do we have to do? Who do we have to start vetting? Who do we need to start fielding right now? Because I am of the opinion that we need a strong conservative that's young, energetic, and I hate to say it, but cool. Because apparently cool is what frickin' sells in America.
Well, you guys should get something. I want you to just look at one thing. Think about 30 years ago. Think about back in the day of Reagan. How many people did you see walking around with Che Guevara t-shirts on?
But Billy, I would suggest right now, and let's bring Kurt in on this. I would suggest, and Harry, I would suggest right now that if Reagan were running today,
he wouldn't
Reagan
have won.
Wouldn't have won.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the country itself has changed. The whole nation. Not because of Bush, not because of Reagan, because of Clinton.
We didn't energize our base. And why was that? Because we had Romney, who was basically Obama-lite, okay? And when Kane dropped out, I said this because I was up there trying to get my precinct votes and so on, petition signed. And we all met up there. When Kane dropped out, I told these people, I said, look, Obama is the next guy. Romney, but he is Obama-lite, and that's what we got. And the conservatives in this country understood that. Now, unless we all want to sit there and start acting like Democrats and liberals, we're not going to win anything unless we go back to conservative roots. Now, people sit there and say that, you know, that I'm off base or something, that we need the electorate has changed. I don't think conservatism has changed. I don't think it has.
I'm talking about
has changed, but how are we going to combat that, Billy? By sitting there and being the same as they are?
No, I'm not even saying that.
Here's the thing, guys. The base of the Democratic Party is the black community. The black community is very religious. They are pro-God. They are pro-marriage. So if you feel the candidate that's talking that way, that will appeal to them. Hispanics are Catholics. They're very religious. If you feel the candidate that they can relate to on the issues, you will bring them to our base, okay? You've got to bring – we have to stand on our convictions, and we didn't do it with Mitt. He was only getting 30% in the primaries. We couldn't coalesce behind one candidate, or we would have took him out in the primaries.
You know, but I'm telling you, there's one thing that I do not understand how anybody would dare say it has anything to do with the evangelicals. But at the same time, I know that this past Sunday at church, our homily during the service was all about Mitt Romney. Even though his name wasn't brought up, it was all about the fact that it came down to an issue of cults and an issue of how they were trying to, people were saying Mormonism is a cult, okay? And one of his main topics and talking points about that whole issue was, listen, our founders were deists. What is more a cult than a deist, okay? That's how he basically said it, because they don't follow the doctrinal type thing. And there's certain aspects of the doctrine that cause Catholics to basically determine between a religion and a cult. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. What he was trying to get at is what we need is a leader. We don't need to look at what religion he is. We don't need to look at anything past his leadership skills. And you know what? George Washington was a strong leader. He was nobody even dared to look at his religion. What you need to look at is Mitt Romney would be a good leader. He never once mentioned his name, but he just kept going into this thing about the people who were decrying Mitt Romney simply because Mormonism is a cult. And
but that's what the media put out there. That's what the media
right.
portrayed.
Well,
the thing is, I agree with you, Billy. The thing is, though, is that, okay, when we stop letting the there used to be a point in time when the churches did preach politics. Martin Luther King did. There's all these other pastors that did. And
oh, gosh, you know.
They didn't worry about it because they didn't have the fear of the ACLU coming down on them saying, you're going to lose your tax-exempt status for doing this. But we've lost sight.
We
all the way back then.
Black Baptist ministers at the polls outside talking about voting for Mitt and talking about not voting for Obama because of the two issues, the two that the left were pushing, and nobody on the right was, except for the stupid Aikens and you know, the ones who were as brave as Murdoch to say one thing. That's what made us look like the incapable party. Nobody else was talking about those things except the left and two wackos. And I shouldn't call Murdoch a wacko.
Actually, Murdoch didn't win. The libertarian candidate here in Indiana took 118,000 votes. Those votes would have gone to Murdoch because the libertarians are for less government, which is what
Murdoch
was for.
They might have gone
to
Murdoch if he had said that, though. A lot of them might have gone to Murdoch if he hadn't said what he did.
He still wouldn't have won because of the libertarians. I don't think, well, he might have. He might have pulled it out.
He might have still gotten more votes had he not said that one sentence.
Yeah,
and
I
don't disagree with Murdoch's sentence. I think everything he said was spot on. But I'm saying that our party itself would not even bring it up. They were avoiding it at all costs as if it was a plague. And that's partially why, I mean, we were looked upon as a weaker party because we weren't brave enough to even talk about it.
Well, but, you know, people like Rick Santorum were... And even Piers Morgan, you know, a liberal, actually liked him for his stance. I mean, that he's a good man. And I think we need to talk about it because the social issues and the fiscal issues are kind of all together. You know, it's all about morality. It's all about,
right.
you, know,
you know,
having
what?
That.
Well, we've got.
I don't think. Yeah, let's get Harry back on here.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about. And we don't have enough time tonight, but we're certainly going to talk about it, guys.
Oh,
I want to
tomorrow night.
exactly, Billy. I want to assure everybody of that. We've got a lot to talk about. And you know what? Let's just keep in mind that we're all having this frank discussion because we all care about our country. And at the same time, we all love one another. And we just want to find the right solution for our country. With that said, let's bring in Harry. Kurt, you're on deck because we are running. We're running out of time on the end of this special Soldiers of Patriotism show. But Harry, jump in here and speak to anything you've heard talked about so far. And Kurt, you're on deck.
Well, I think sometimes that we forget what is the very most basic. And I'll start what I mean with a basic story. Some years ago, another gentleman and I were talking to these college girls, and we were talking about Christianity. And this manager that worked at the place was walking down with another guy using language that would just take the chrome right off a trailer hitch. And he comes up to us and he asks what we're talking about, and I said, well, we're talking about Jesus Christ and Christianity. And he says, oh, great, I'm a Christian. And I thought, well, isn't that just great? You know, you come in with all this horrible language, doing terrible stuff, and now you want us to, I mean, it's not for me to question what somebody's Christianity is, but my point is, and I maybe veered from it a little bit, the best thing we can do to take back our country and our conservative attitude and ethic is to be people that other people want to be like. You know, go out with a smile. How are you? Gosh, you look great today. Miss, did anybody tell you how nice you look in that blue dress today? Just little bitty pieces of greeting, of nicety, of kindness, so that people look at you and they think, you know, gosh, I really appreciated that. Maybe I'll be like that person. Well, you know, if one of us do it, maybe it's no big thing. But what if five or six of us do it to that same person? Mm-hmm. And one day they're talking to somebody and they say, oh, yeah, that's Jim over there. I met him at a group meeting the other day. What kind of group meeting? Oh, it was at Tea Party, I think it was. And, you know, whether you say Tea Party or conservative or Republican or whatever it is, be our best selves to everybody.
Yeah, and Harry, that type of philosophy and mentality is in your book, The Resident Beanbag Bible. And I just highly recommend everybody get that, because I think you'll find a chapter or you'll find maybe the whole book that just relates to you, man. And it's a very easy read. I'm not saying that, Harry, to put you down. I'm just saying it was a good read to me, you know, just very lightheaded and, you know, that kind of stuff. But it was a great book. And, yeah, that philosophy, well, if I went in tomorrow and said that to some of the women at work or something, you got a nice blue dress, look, they don't really wear that, but whatever, you know, I'd probably be too for sexual harassment. But anyway,
exactly.
That's beside the point. But I guess if enough guys sat there and women sat there and said, you know, get back into the mindset of what it was, what it used to be like in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, up until Clinton, then I guess you'd be like, okay, cool, that's, yeah, I like that, you know. Whatever.
Well, I mean,
you know,
I complimented Michael not long ago on his nice green sachet dress. I mean, you know, I mean, you got a little upset about it, but I thought he handled it well.
Yeah, I thought the same on that.
Yeah, but great.
Hey, I love those pink pumps, too. You go, baby.
Yeah, buddy. Brenda, I hope it was just a bad sale, buddy. Let's bring Kurt in here, and then Barbara, you're on deck, and then we're getting very close to the end of the show. And I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Being, you know, how wonderful is it that we have friends that, you know, we could just do an impromptu show and have a successful show like we had tonight, Bing.
Yeah, they can get together on a minute's notice. I mean, I emailed Harry and just, you know, said, hey, dude, you know, you wanted to be on last week's show. And I said, can you be on this week's show? And he just popped in here. You know, I didn't even know if he was coming or not. But, yeah, and then also Carl Higbee. I mean, you know, what a fabulous guy, man. If we know anybody in Connecticut, he's running for Senate. I think, okay. We're going to get more details on that. We'll talk to him about that. But as far as I know, that's what
he's already texted me. I've already spoken to him, told him that we will sponsor him and do whatever we can for him, and he's going to get back with us on that. And you know, there's our other good buddy
that's on
the round table every Sunday, always has words of inspiration. A man that I look to. You know, like I looked at my father, a man, you know, I mean, I don't talk to him as much as I would have talked to my father, but our buddy from Western Tennessee, Kurt Lackwood. Kurt, come on in here. You know, this is another man that's with us every week.
Yep.
I very appreciate the flowers there, Michael. I'm going to refer back to something that I'm not certain exactly what I heard a while ago, but a couple of the ladies were talking, and I thought I heard someone make a statement that, about the landscape, if you will, the moral or the ethical landscape of the country has or has not changed. I'm not absolutely certain what I heard, but it triggered my memory on something, and I'm just going to make this statement. the landscape, the picture of the people in the United States of America has changed, and it has changed dramatically through a process called changing the demographics. If you have an area in which your candidate cannot get elected because the people of that locale are opposed to your candidate's philosophies, if you change the demographics, that being the nature of the people living in that area, if you can shift that dramatically enough, guess what? Your candidate can be elected. That's why Tennessee is a target for demographic change. Fortunately, they haven't whipped us down yet because Romney's numbers were better in Tennessee than most of the other states, if I remember correctly. I know they were good here. But anyway, that's why they are shipping Somalis into Nashville, Tennessee on a regular basis. They're shipping Iraqis. They're shipping people from all over the sandbox over there are being brought into Tennessee. They're being brought in by the State Department of the United States of America. Our State Department is bringing them in here. They're undocumented. They're brought in, turn loose, and go who knows where. This is a fact that I know absolutely for certain, and it's something that needs to be pursued hot and heavy at the very next opportunity. Anyway, that's how they're changing certain areas to make their candidate electable in that area. Okay.
Well, you know, and Kurt, I don't know about the Somalis in Tennessee, but I know the tamales here in Texas are awesome.
Yeah, Michael, they ship them in here.
S-O-M, Somali.
I was joking around, brother. The tamales here in Texas have changed the demographics as well. And well, I might not have should have said that. But
that's a big problem, man. Here, I mean, they just get this and they're picking corn and they're picking all sorts of things. Like, come on, you know.
Well, look. I grew up.
Ship us your tamales and we'll ship you our Somalis, okay? How's that?
I don't want to do that because, you know, it's been a tradition my whole life, Christmas Eve, tamales and chili. I mean, that's what we do here in Texas, tamales and chili on Christmas Eve.
A break tradition, go Somalis and chili.
Barbara, come on in here, sweetheart. Give us a few minutes of your final closing thoughts, and then we're gonna call it a night and gear up for Sunday.
All right. Well, this has been my first election thing that I've been so involved in, and you guys are great. I've learned a lot, and the one thing that I'm gonna say, let's take this week and finish ranting and raving. And we all have to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, and we have to find the right direction. We all have to come together, and we have to find the solution, and we have to live in the solution for others to see the solution. Because if we don't do that, then we're really going to be fucked. And by the way, Harry, I'm still reading your book. I didn't finish it, but when you started talking earlier, I did recognize that from the book. That's why I haven't emailed.
Harry, you're on live, buddy.
Barbara, I didn't catch all that. Did I hear you say that you want to buy 15 more books and give them to your neighbors? Is that what I heard?
I can't afford it.
No, but Harry, give out your link real quick.
ResidentBeanBag.com.
Yeah, check his website out. Just, you know, I mean, it's a great book. It's
if there's a single one of you that reads that book and doesn't like it, you let me know and I'll send you your money back.
I laugh at it.
I've made that to a lot of people and no one's asked me yet, so I think we're doing all right.
Yeah. It is a good book. But really, back on the politics stuff, I've been meeting a lot of great people and getting the encouragement that I need. And at my office today, one of the women was really trying not to gloat. and I didn't want to talk to anybody because I've seen what this president is doing. And I don't know why these blinders are on these people, but I think Billy said it earlier that we have to be the ones to get it out to the media, the ABCs and CBSs and all them idiots, because they need to start reporting this stuff. They need to let people know what's going on. We need to start holding them as accountable as the damn office over there. But also, on a good note, I took a breath first. North Carolina did really good. We've got a Republican congressman, Pat McCrory, won. So the first Republican congressman in, oh, God, since early night, since I want to say I saw 1870, the third one since then. So, yeah, yay. We still
are you in North Carolina, Barbara?
I am.
Yeah.
Now I detect a distinct northeastern accent.
Oh,
are
like
you
Long Island?
Long Island or something? I don't know.
Long Island.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, and the reason I asked Barbara is, do you still have family there, and are they okay? Is there anything we can do to help?
I appreciate it. My mother's husband, my mother passed away a year ago, but her husband, there was 4 feet of water in the house, so everything in the house is ruined. The boat floated away. My younger brother lives a block away from the water. Physically, everybody's okay, and they're all smushed at my other brother's house.
We got food there. Are the kids taken care of? Are there diapers that are needed? Can I send a 24-pack of diapers up there to somebody? I mean, that's what I'm asking.
Thank you. My family's good. They're good. I really appreciate it. What I'm doing down here from here is I'm collecting clothes from people and sending up clothes, kids' clothes. My daughter's got friends that have little kids that have lost everything. So we're sending blankets up. Just anything that you can. I'm actually going to send this stuff to my daughter, one box, and the other box I'm going to send to one of the fire departments because that's who's giving a lot of them out, because I will not give a freaking penny or anything to the Red Cross.
Hey, Barb, if you can't post, can you make a post on Trad-Am? Or maybe, we can help over there. Just make a post on what they need, where they can send it to, that kind of thing.
Oh,
because
thank
we're,
you.
Getting close,
yeah, or,
we're getting
or
close, we're getting
out.
Close to show end here, so we got to wrap it up. But the thing is, yeah, just make a post over to Trad-Am, man. We got a lot of people over there, and we got might have some people right next to you. I know a few people over there that are from North Carolina, so at least they can get the stuff to you, and you can get it to where it needs to be, or something.
Yeah. Remember, Barb, you're in a big family, and we walk the walk, and we don't just talk the talk; we walk the walk.
I know, and I love you guys, man. I'm glad that I got up with you. But anyway, thanks for letting me rant and rave, and I'm glad I got to hear everybody else rant and rave because we all share the same feeling. Great show tonight. Thanks for, on a drop of a bucket, letting us know you had it.
Thanks, Barbara, and we look forward to having you on many more shows with us. Bing, I think that about wraps it up for us, brother. We're down to the last 90 seconds. I'm going to go ahead and do our outro music just for the recording, the archive purposes. But my brother, thanks for when I called you and said, hey, man, I think people want to talk, and picking up the ball and flying with that. We got Carl on here. We got Harry, Billy, Brenda, our brother Kurt. Barbara called in. I mean, we had a good show tonight. And, folks, we'll be on Sunday. I thought about taking a long weekend. I've got Friday or Monday off for Veterans Day. But I'm not going to do it because I owe it. I owe it to my brother Kurt. I owe it to Barbara. I owe it to all of the people that tune in every week and listen to Bing and I and give us their time. I owe it to them to, we owe it to them to give them a place to call in, and let's deal with our emotions and then pick up the ball and continue the fight. But we're just about out of time. It's fixing to cut off for everybody in the chat room. Bing and I love you all. Thank you guys very much. We're going to let D-Rock take us out.
Love you all.
God bless.
Good night.
Got to ask me, you know what color I play.